Chapter 6. For 4 days, Lan Wangji waited in Yilin. He wasn't idle. Yilin was indeed occupied territory. He didn't want anybody realizing he was there, so after waking every morning, he typically traveled as much as 2 or 3 hours before he could find a Wen encampment, kill some scouts, cause some chaos, and then retreat before he was seen. It probably wasn't the most efficient way of fighting the Wen clan, but at least it gave him something to do and a way to expend some of his own rage at what they had done. And it kept him distracted from what Wei Wuxian was doing. Learning to control the resentful energy was a constant struggle. It was pain and exhaustion and grim determination. That was bad enough. But Lan Wangji still itched to be with him, helping him. He knew Wei Wuxian was right, that prolonged exposure to the resentful energy at the burial mounds could harm him, and it was especially important that he remain in good health so he could cleanse and stabilize Wei Wuxian. But the separation and helplessness still hurt. He wasn't surprised when the 4th day dawned with Wei Wuxian having absolutely no plan to keep his part of the bargain and come back to Yilin. He made dozens of excuses, none of which interested Lan Wangji at all. He didn't think Lan Wangji should be wasting time on him. He had too much work to do to spend time in Yilin. He was fine and didn't need it anyway. Lan Wangji did not bother to argue with these excuses. He did not bother to give them any thought at all, focusing on his own work. He gave Wei Wuxian a day of grace. And when the 5th day dawned, with him still having no plans to leave the burial mounds, Lan Wangji went to get him. He found him sitting on a large boulder, carving a flute out of what looked like bone. Wei Wuxian didn't seem startled by Lan Wangji's approach, so he had clearly been aware that Lan Wangji planned to keep his word and come get him.
Wei Ying.
Hey, Lan Chan. Wei Wuxian had apparently decided to pretend that everything was normal. Check it out! I figured out I could control the energy better if I had a focus. It was your brother Xiao that gave me the idea. I think the guqin would be a little complicated for me, but I ought to be able to figure out a flute. Lan Wangji said. Gonna have to paint it black, though. You know, to match my aesthetic. Lan Wangji repeated, then added,
Is that aesthetic cold, hungry, and exhausted? Because that's how you look.
Rude, Wei Wuxian replied. Lan Wangji carefully schooled his irritation at having to come fetch Wei Wuxian like a child, because he knew it would only make Wei Wuxian more recalcitrant. He knew that Wei Wuxian wasn't trying to be difficult. He knew that his behavior was born from grief and pain, and that being angry with him would only make things worse.
Come back to Yilin with me. You need to eat, and you need to rest.
I've only just figured this flute thing out, though, Wei Wuxian said. I really need to finish carving it so I can see how well it works. Lan Wangji said nothing. Instead, he thought very hard about the dumplings he'd had at a stand the previous day, how good they were, how nice a hot meal would be. There was another shop with excellent dessert buns, too. Oh, fair, Wei Wuxian groaned. A hot bath would be nice, too, Lan Wangji thought at him. Maybe a chance to wash his hair. Maybe a chance for Lan Wangji to wash his hair for him. Wei Wuxian had to stop and take a breath. Why can't you just...
Why are you like this? You can't just slap the silencing spell on me every time I annoy you.
Yes, I can, and yes, I will,
Lan Wangji replied implacably.
Every time you start acting like you've forgotten what we are to each other, I'm going to silence you, so you have to use our bond if you want to talk to me. Now come back to Yi Lin with me and let me take care of you. Bring the flute. I can help you carve and tune it.
Wei Wuxian wavered, mind full of thoughts about how he really was tired. Some rest probably wouldn't hurt. The dumplings sounded so good. The hot bath even better. Maybe 8 hours of sleep on something other than cold, hard ground?
I can feel how a part of you wants so badly to let me take care of you,
Lan Wangji told him.
Let it win, Wei Ying. It will, or I will.
Ugh, you can be such a stubborn prick,
Wei Wuxian told him, but the resistance had drained out of him. He jumped down off the boulder and let Lan Wangji take him by the wrist and pull him along. His thoughts meandered along as they walked in his usual manner. And it was actually somewhat pleasant for Lan Wangji. As they jumped from the weather, it had been good, fortunately. The scenery, the burial mounds really weren't as bad as they seemed, and all the food he wanted to eat in Yi Lin. After about an hour, the silencing spell wore off, but they continued to walk without speaking. Lan Wangji was telling him about some of what he had been doing to pass the time, describing the letter he had sent to his brother to let him know where he had gone and how Wei Wuxian was, so he could pass it along to Jiang Cheng. They shared their hope that Jiang Yanli and the Wen siblings would be safe in Cloud Recesses. Wei Wuxian was curious about the plan Wen Qing and Lan Xichen had come up with, but Lan Wangji actually knew fairly little about it, since he had been so intent on caring for Wei Wuxian. When they got to the inn, Lan Wangji bought enough food for 8 people and asked for it to be sent up to the room, along with hot water for a bath. Wei Wuxian filled his face while they waited for the water, occasionally commenting on the quality of the food and how good it tasted, but mostly just eating. Ugh, I really am filthy, he said, stripping out of his outer robe. I don't even want to think what my hair looks like. Lan Wangji nodded. Without saying anything, he reached out to help him take it down and picked up a comb from the nearby vanity. Once they got his hair down, Wei Wuxian undid the belt of his inner robe, but then hesitated.
This is not really how I pictured getting naked with Lan Chan for the first time. He's gonna look at my skinny ass and wonder what he ever saw in me.
The thought floated to the surface of his mind, and he jerked his gaze away from Lan Wangji's when he could clearly read on Lan Wangji's face that he heard it. Ah, fuck, he muttered, and threw off the inner robe, then shed his pants and plunged into the tub without giving Lan Wangji a chance to respond or really look.
Your ass is skinny because you aren't eating enough,
Lan Wangji told him, sitting next to the tub and gathering Wei Wuxian's hair in one hand.
But it's not an unattractive ass.
Wei Wuxian snorted despite himself.
Such a sweet talker. I know how I look.
Lan Wangji nodded. Wei Wuxian had dropped at least 20 pounds, possibly more, over the course of the past month. It showed even in his face, and it certainly showed in his body. He had bruises, probably from being tossed around by the resentful energy when it escaped his control, or fighting with whatever monsters he was conjuring. There were scars, too, although some of them were older. The Wen brand on his chest, the marks from Zijian on his back, a few fresher wounds that could have been from his time in the burial mounds.
You look like my soulmate.
Wei Wuxian flushed pink to the tips of his ears and slumped further into the hot water.
Fuck, you are a sweet talker.
Lan Wangji began to comb out his hair, being as careful as possible, although the knots and tangles sometimes made it difficult. But he was patient and gradually eased them out, one by one. By then, Wei Wuxian was nearly asleep in the tub, soothed by the hot water and the large meal and the feeling of Lan Wangji running the comb through his hair. Lan Wangji was tempted to let him sleep, but it wouldn't be good for him once the water cooled.
Wei Ying, get up.
Wei Wuxian mumbled, but hauled himself to his feet.
Thought you were gonna wash my hair.
I am.
Lan Wangji helped Wei Wuxian into a clean robe, then guided him to sit down on a cushion he placed at the foot of the tub, tucking another one under his neck so he could lean against the edge comfortably. He used a cup to gently pour water over the crown of Wei Wuxian's head. He gave a small, contented sigh, his body finally relaxing fully, as Lan Wangji began to scrub in some soap.
Ugh, it feels so good. How can I get him to do this every day for the rest of my life? I suppose every day might be a little excessive, but still, once a week at least.
Wei Wuxian remembered their bond and added,
Lan Shan, would you do that for me?
You're ridiculous,
Lan Wangji told him.
True. It is a little much to ask,
Wei Wuxian thought drowsily.
No,
Lan Wangji said.
The fact that you think you need to ask is what's ridiculous. I would do it every day if you wanted.
Wei Wuxian flushed pink again, his thoughts a flustered mess of hearts and exclamation points and deep, fierce longing that warred with the pain of loss and sudden feelings of inadequacy. Lan Wangji did not respond to any of his thoughts beyond continuing to project the steady foundation of love that he kept trying to build in Wei Wuxian's mind, even if Wei Wuxian couldn't or wouldn't yet use that word. When he had finished with Wei Wuxian's hair, he toweled it dry, and then carefully braided it so that it wouldn't tangle while he slept. Wei Wuxian, sitting on the edge of the bed, gave Lan Wangji the first smile Lan Wangji had seen since he had met him in Yunmeng. Lan Wangji sat down next to him and said,
You need to rest, but how can I know that you won't run away on me again?
I won't,
Wei Wuxian said, still smiling.
I promise.
Lan Wangji reached up and tugged his forehead ribbon off. He looped one end around Wei Wuxian's wrist, then gently pushed him so he was lying against the pillows. He threaded the ribbon around the head of the bed, then wrapped it around Wei Wuxian's other wrist, tying them so they were held together above his head.
That's really not necessary,
Wei Wuxian told him, although his mental voice was more excited and intrigued than it was worried.
Also, should the ribbon be used that way?
It's my ribbon. I'll use it how I like,
Lan Wangji said, and kissed him. Wei Wuxian leaned up into it, his lips automatically parting underneath Lan Wangji's, eyes fluttering shut. Lan Wangji kissed him until they were both breathless, then pulled away, running his hands down Wei Wuxian's chest and drawing his robe open.
Oh,
Wei Wuxian thought, as Lan Wangji leaned down to press kisses into his collarbone. It sounded like a good oh, a fantastic oh, so Lan Wangji kept going. He shrugged out of his outer robe and lay alongside Wei Wuxian, caressing his face, letting their legs entwine. A few seconds later, Wei Wuxian tugged at his bound wrists.
Lan Chan, I can't touch you all tied up like this.
I know,
Lan Wangji said, not feeling the need to stop brushing his lips against the soft skin of Wei Wuxian's stomach.
But,
Wei Wuxian replied, not coherent enough to finish the thought in words, but with a flurry of images of all the places he was intent on touching. At that, Lan Wangji pulled away enough to bring his face level with Wei Wuxian's and meet his gaze.
I told you, he said softly, that if I had to go to the burial mounds to get you, you wouldn't like what happened.
Wei Wuxian replied. Lan Wangji began to kiss his way back down Wei Wuxian's chest. He took his time doing it, all the while forcefully imagining all the things he was going to do to Wei Wuxian while he was tied up and completely at his mercy. Wei Wuxian groaned at every image.
I want to touch you, Lan Chan. Let me touch you.
Come back after 3 days next time,
Lan Wangji replied.
And I will.
Staring at the ceiling with somewhat glassy eyes, Wei Wuxian gasped out, You don't play fair, Hongguanjun.
I never said I did.
Once thoroughly sated, Wei Wuxian slept a solid 12 hours. He ate another meal that had enough food for three people, accepted the pack of supplies Lan Wangqi gave him, and said, "Better get back to the burial mounds so I can do enough work to leave in 3 days." He was back after two. They got into a routine that worked more often than not. Wei Wuxian spent 3 days in the burial mounds, fighting with resentful energy, learning how to control it and what its limits were. Lan Wangqi spent 3 days in and around Yilin, hunting Wen soldiers, and doing the occasional night hunt, because evil wasn't going to stop just because Wen Rohan was trying to subjugate the world. Then, on the morning of the fourth day, Wei Wuxian would return to Yilin. He ate his weight in food and took a bath before they spent the day in bed together. Lan Wangqi played the guqin until Wei Wuxian fell asleep, and then the next morning he headed back to the burial mounds. It wasn't perfect. Sometimes Wei Wuxian had to be persuaded to come back, especially if he was struggling with something. Once he had to be persuaded to leave because Lan Wangqi was mildly injured on a hunting trip. His mood was still volatile, and he was pushing himself far too hard. Lan Wangqi grew more tense with each letter from his brother, detailing the efforts of the Sunshot campaign. Cloud recesses had to be emptied because they got wind of another pending attack. Jiang Yanli had been sent to Lanling, which Wei Wuxian was upset about, and the Wen siblings joined Lan Xichen at Qinghe. Lan Wangqi expected to have to constantly remind Wei Wuxian that he was not ready to join the front lines, but instead, it was himself he more often had to counsel restraint to. He hated his brother being in danger without him. He hated the fact that he was not doing anything beyond nipping at the Wen sect's heels and being a thorn in their side. He tried taking the swords off the dead cultivators so he could at least cut down on his travel time and perhaps check in with his brother in person, but they would never heed his commands. The more tense he got, the more often he had to convince Wei Wuxian that he still needed to take breaks, to eat and rest and be cleansed of the resentful energy. Wei Wuxian knew he couldn't join the front lines of the battle until he had control over the Yin Iron, which he had changed from the sword to a more compact, less conspicuous amulet branded with a tiger seal. He knew that he might cause more harm than good if he wasn't ready. So he tried to work harder, short himself on sleep, so he could be ready sooner. Lan Wangqi reminded him that he would only end up needing longer if he collapsed or hurt himself, which typically made Wei Wuxian very annoyed. But they never talked about any of that when they were together. Those arguments were left for when there was distance between them. When they were together, there wasn't a lot of talking. As weeks turned into months, Wei Wuxian got better, bit by bit, at learning how to shield his thoughts from Lan Wangji. "I can't inflict them on you all the time," he said, when Lan Wangji began to notice. "Especially when I'm doing stuff like fighting with demons. I don't want you distracted while you're fighting Wen soldiers because I keep hitting the wrong notes on Chen Qing." Lan Wangji begrudgingly admitted that this was maybe not a bad idea, but he didn't realize how good Wei Wuxian had actually gotten at it until he was late on one of their rendezvous days. When Lan Wangji checked in with him, his reply was,
"Yeah, I'm almost there. It took a little longer than I anticipated."
And Lan Wangji realized Wei Wuxian was coming from somewhere other than the burial mounds.
"Where were you?"
he asked.
"It's a surprise,"
Wei Wuxian replied, and his voice was smug, but it had the edges of pain and exhaustion that weren't usually there. Lan Wangji was suspicious, but he could tell that Wei Wuxian genuinely was on his way to Yilin, so he didn't say anything else. It wasn't until he got there and Lan Wangji saw him, clothes soaked with blood, carrying a bundle wrapped in dark cloth, that he stopped and demanded,
"What did you do?"
Wei Wuxian smiled. It was a wan, tired smile, a shadow of his former grin, but it was genuine. He put down the bundle and pulled something out of it, and held it out to Lan Wangji. It was Bichen. Lan Wangji's breath caught in his throat. He accepted the sword with hands that were suddenly shaking and looked up at Wei Wuxian, repeating,
"What did you do?"
The massacre at the Indoctrination Bureau later went down in history as one of the turning points of the Sunshot campaign. The campaign thus far had focused more on driving the Wen soldiers out of the territory they had occupied, especially Qinghe and Gusu. There had been skirmishes along the borders, but almost none of the fighting had taken place inside Qishan. Wei Wuxian had walked right into the heart of the Wen sect's territory and dealt them a stunning, brutal blow. At that moment, Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian knew none of this. Wei Wuxian just described it in simple terms. He wanted to get Lan Wangji and Jiang Cheng their swords back, along with Nie Huaisang and, begrudgingly, Jin Sichuan. He didn't mention his own sword, though Sui Bian was indeed among those he had recovered. When Lan Wangji picked it up and held it out to him, he merely shook his head, and Lan Wangji set it aside.
"You shouldn't have hidden it from me," Lan Wangji said,
although his hands gripped Bichen so tightly that his knuckles were white. "I was trying to surprise you," Wei Wuxian said, stripping his bloody clothes off. "It was, you know, romantic."
"Romantic?
You invaded enemy territory, risked your life, undoubtedly channeled an enormous amount of resentful energy, and killed dozens of people. That's what you consider romantic?"
"You don't?"
Lan Wangji took a deep breath and thought, contrary to absolutely everything he meant to think,
"Come here and let me finish taking your clothes off."
Much later that evening, Lan Wangji played the guqin while he meditated, and Wei Wuxian's thoughts, for the most part, were calm and clear.
"Do you know where our brothers are?"
"You were supposed to be meditating."
"Yeah, but I still suck at it. You know that."
Lan Wangji gave a soft snort.
"Last I heard, which was about a week ago now, they were at the Unclean Realm. Nie Zongju has a dozen attacks planned, so they might be gone by now. But that will be the best place to catch them. It's the stronghold closest to Qishan, and where most of the attacks have been launched from."
Wei Wuxian mulled this over for a few moments. Lan Wangji could follow his thoughts. He was afraid to go to Qinghe, afraid what people would think of his style of attacks. He didn't want to take orders from people, especially those he might not respect, or who wouldn't respect him. He knew the attacks had been focused on Qinghe and Gusu because they were the closest to Qishan, and had incurred the majority of the attacks. He knew he should go to the Unclean Realm to do what he was told, and yet... Lan Wangji plucked a string, making the guqin hum.
"I doubt that Nie Zongju will hold it against you if you wanted to focus on Yunmeng. I believe they will be ready to go there soon, if they are not already. Xiongcheng mentioned in his last letter that Jiang Wanyin had said he wanted to wait for you before they went to Lotus Pier, which means the option must have come up in their plans."
"Oh?"
Wei Wuxian went on alert at the mention of his brother and his home, and he nodded, eyes glinting.
"Then let's go find Jiang Cheng and give him his sword back."
"We can leave in the morning. You're going to get some sleep, whether you like it or not."
"Tie me up again?"
Wei Wuxian suggested, and Lan Wangji quite forgot that they were supposed to be meditating. With the return of Bichen, Lan Wangji was able to get them to the Unclean Realm in only a few hours. Wei Wuxian, who hadn't exactly had a lot of good experiences riding on someone's sword lately, clung a little more tightly than was comfortable. Lan Wangji didn't mention it, bringing them down about half a mile away so they could finish the journey on foot. A huge encampment had been set up around the Unclean Realm, and although they were clearly spotted by scouts, they were also clearly recognized, because Lan Zicheng was waiting to greet them. Lan Wangji bowed to his brother, and Lan Zicheng embraced him.
"It is good to see you," he said.
He let them go and added,
Wei Gongxi, you're looking well. Wei Wuxian bowed and said, Thank you, Zhou Jin, not just for your words, but for all the help you provided me and my family. Lan Xichen smiled and said, You're quite welcome. Let's see if we can find your brother. Is he here? Wei Wuxian looked excited. Lan Chen wasn't sure he would be, because so much is going on. He just got back yesterday. Ming Chui Xiong is still in the field. Lan Xichen gestured for them to follow. Wei Wuxian, on the other hand, had gotten distracted by a slender figure moving in amongst the wounded that were recovering in the encampment. Oh no, he whispered, immediately ducking behind Lan Wengji as the woman looked up. Hide me! I will not, Lan Wengji said as Wen Qing spotted them. She stared hard at them for a moment before turning and shouting, An Ying, will you please come over here? Wen Ying emerged from a tent, carrying a stack of towels and bandages. His gaze landed on Wei Wuxian, and his face lit up like an excited puppy.
Fuck me.
Wei Wuxian thought very clearly.
I am going to the lowest level of hell.
The Wen siblings came over to greet them, and Wen Qing said sharply, An Ying, do I have to remind you of what we agreed upon? Wen Ying scuffed the ground with his foot. To Wei Wuxian, he said earnestly, Jia Jia says I can't forgive you unless I hit you back. Oh, Wei Wuxian said, and nodded, spreading his arms wide. That seems fair. Give it your best shot. Wen Ying gave a soft punch to Wei Wuxian's abdomen, then clearly came within a hair's breadth of apologizing for doing it. Wen Qing groaned. Well, if that's all you can do, fine, but I'm not forgiving him until I've done this. And then punched Wei Wuxian in the gut with five times as much force as her brother. Wei Wuxian sagged, wheezing. If you ever touch my brother again, I'll fill you with so many needles that you'll never stop bleeding. That's fair, Wei Wuxian grunted. He coughed a few times and straightened up. Have you been here long? Lan Chen told me that Cloud Recesses was evacuated. Wen Qing nodded. She and her brother were now dressed in the white and blue of the Lan sect, and she said, We were planning to come anyway. We heard they needed doctors on the front lines. And we couldn't have asked for a better one. A new voice interjected as Jiang Cheng came up on the group. Wen Qing actually flushed slightly pink. And then Jiang Cheng looked at Wei Wuxian and said, What took you so long? I'm surprised you didn't master this new sword within a week. Wei Wuxian grinned, a genuinely happy grin, as Jiang Cheng embraced him. Then he pulled away and said, Speaking of swords, and pulled Sandu out of the bundle and held it out. Jiang Cheng's eyes went wide. How on earth? Somebody stormed the Indoctrination Bureau by themselves instead of telling me ahead of time so I could go with him. Lan Wangqi said.
Romantic!
Wei Wuxian replied, still smug. Ah, so that's what happened at the Indoctrination Bureau, Lan Xichen said, as Jiang Cheng tightly clutched his sword. You had us all very puzzled, Wei Gongxi. I'm surprised you heard about it already, Wei Wuxian said. He has a source on the inside, Wen Qing said in a surprisingly sour voice. Lan Xichen just smiled and inclined his head slightly, and Lan Wenqi looked between the two of them, trying to figure out what Wen Qing was so annoyed about. Seeing his look, Lan Xichen said, It upsets her that I won't tell her who it is, but I feel that protecting their identity is paramount. I lived in the Nightless City for years, Wen Qing said. I'm the one who knows people there. I'm the one who is best equipped to tell whether or not this person is trustworthy. And if I needed you to tell me that, I would ask, Lan Xichen said. But I don't, because I already know their trustworthiness. Wen Qing's jaw set in a stubborn expression. In an attempt to defuse the situation, Jiang Cheng said, Wen Qing, all the information we've gotten from Zhou Jun's source has been good. Surely you agree by now that we can trust them?
A person can tell the truth 100 times, waiting for the perfect opportunity to tell a lie, Wen Qing retorted, but then sighed and said, and the only reason I have not pushed harder is because I can't think of anyone in Nightless City who's smart enough to pull off a long con like that. Wei Wuxian gave a snort. Your branch got all the brains, I think, he said, and Wen Qing nodded. So, you two seem friendly now. Wei Wuxian added brightly, having noticed that Jiang Cheng used Wen Qing's given name. Although, now we're both flushed pink, Wen Qing said, some people didn't think An Ying and I should be allowed to help because of what clan we come from. Jiang Wenyin spoke up for us.
Xiong Cheng spoke up for them as well, and his word probably carried far more weight,
Lan Wengji told Wei Wuxian, amused.
But I note she does not mention that.
Wei Wuxian had to stifle a laugh in his sleeve, masking it as a cough. I don't mean to tease. I'm just happy to see you all again, he said. Then he grew serious, asking, what's the word on Lotus Pier? Still occupied. Jiang Cheng, his own mood growing more somber as well. Wen Chao and that bitch of his are using it as the Yunmeng Supervisory Office. Chi Fengsun said last week that he thought we would be able to hit it soon, but I didn't want to do it without you. Wei Wuxian nodded. Thanks for that. How's Shujie? Still in Lanling, probably being coddled by Jin Furen, Jiang Cheng said. She's written frequently. Jin Zixuan and some of their men actually joined us on the front lines a few weeks ago, so she hasn't seen as much of him lately. Jin Zongqiu finally decided to help? Wei Wuxian asked, surprised. Huh, wonder what brought that on? Lan Xichun shook his head.
I don't think Jin Zongqiu decided to do anything. I think Jin Zixuan decided to join us, and Jin Zongqiu didn't bother to stop him. But they haven't committed a substantial force. Most of the people who have come were brought by Jin Zixuan personally, and that's still far fewer than any of the other 3 clans have contributed, even though the Lan and Jiang clans both suffered heavy losses in the initial attacks.
Wei Wuxian made a disgusted noise. Oh, well, at least he's here so we can give him his sword back. And Nie Xiang as well. I assume he's here. Doubt he'd be on the front lines. He actually's proven to be a pretty good scout, Jiang Cheng said. Comes from all that bird catching he does, I guess. But they should be back in a few days. I'm sure Zhou Jin can keep their sword safe until then. Wei Wuxian nodded and handed the bundle over to him. Please tell Nie Xiang I said hello.
Are you leaving for Yunmeng already, then? Wen Ying said, sounding a little unhappy. It's past midday.
No time like the present, Wei Wuxian said, clearly chomping at the bit to get back to Lotus Pier and throw Wen Chao out of it, preferably in pieces. He glanced at Jiang Cheng, who nodded. Don't look so worried, Wen Ying. We'll be back before you know it. Don't take down Nightless City without us.
We wouldn't dream of it, Lan Xichun said.
He clasped his brother's hands and said,
be careful.
Lan Wangji nodded. You as well.